Hey everyone, welcome to the Smiling Homeschooler Podcast. We're glad you can join us. This week we're doing something a little bit different. We did have my baby last Thursday, so this episode I'm just going to give a quick update and kind of talk about that a little bit here, and then Dad recorded a separate part for the second half of the show, which should be encouraging as always. But before we begin, I just want to say thank you to Teaching Textbooks for helping make the Smiling Homeschooler possible. They are an amazing math curriculum and one that our family's used for many years, and we think every homeschooler enjoy it. So go check them out over at teachingtextbooks.com. Also, thank you to Homeschooling Today magazine for supporting what we do. They are a fantastic source of encouragement, and if you aren't already subscribed, you should definitely go do so over there. But yeah, as I said at the beginning, we did have our baby, Miles Bennett Wilson. He was born last Thursday, which was kind of a little bit of a funny thing, is Rissa's brother, my wife's brother, his birthday was Wednesday. And he kept joking, oh, you should have the baby today. And she actually called me right as about to get off of work, saying that she felt like she had had her first contraction. But we decided to go ahead and still go to her brother's birthday party. So we went. He was joking about having it on our birthday. He really wanted that to happen, but, you know, we weren't sure. But Rissa was still kind of in that denial stage where she was not sure she was in full labor, but I mean, deep down, I think she knew and everyone else around her knew. So we had dinner and all that, went home, dropped the kids off at my parents', which worked out great. And we actually ended up, as we've said in the last few episodes, we did a home birth, which was a new thing for us, which actually ended up being really great. We had no issues. Everything was, we would definitely do it again if we ever end up having another baby. But, so we called our midwife and she told us, you know, just let her know as it got closer. We called her again just like an hour later. And anytime Rissa was standing up, the contractions were super hard and close together. So she's like, okay, well, maybe just lay down and I'll be right over there. So she ran out there. Rissa was like, maybe we should call my mom, meaning my mom, Debbie, who's been on here multiple times because she's had eight kids. So Rissa's like, she could help me, you know, if I need something. But she didn't say it. And I don't think we got that close that we were really freaking out or anything yet. But we had started filling the tub because they give you like a big blow up birthing tub that we set up in our kitchen. So got all that filled and ready. And then the midwife walked in and I, you know, basically within an hour, Miles was here. And actually, the crazy thing was, is he ended up being born 40, I think it was 57 seconds after midnight. So he missed her brother's birthday by less than a minute and his due date by less than a minute. But we're so thankful everything went smooth. The only, you know, kind of little bit of a complication was his when he was coming out, the umbilical cord actually tore because it was really short. And when Rissa was trying to get him up above the water, it ripped, which, you know, was a little bit of a thing we've never had happen. And actually, apparently our midwife had only had it happen one other time, but she did great, handled it all super smoothly. And there was totally no issues at all. And they took care of it all. So we're very, very thankful. Rissa and Miles have been recovering for the last few days, and I've been able to be home. And if anyone was praying for us, we really appreciate that. Just, you know, there's always a little bit of a scary time, but we're just so thankful we're past it. That's the biggest thing, is any mom out there, whether it's your first or your 10th, just that feeling of being done is just so wonderful. So we're just thanking God over here, and all the kids have been great, and they've, especially our youngest, second youngest now, I guess, Anderson, he's been not like jealous, but I would say a little bit, you know, needy and, I don't know if it's protective or, you know, possessive, I guess is the word, whenever anyone else is holding him. So that's been a little bit fun, but kind of me being home with the kids and this newborn stage has been making me and Rissa both think about just wanting to enjoy it as much as we can, even though it is hard and we're tired and not getting as much sleep. But this is a really special time, you know, that doesn't happen, may never happen for us again, or, you know, and for any of you who have kids, each birth of a child is just an incredible thing. and me getting to be home each day, you know, for like 5 days and just do things with the kids. And, you know, yesterday we went out to a local play area, you know, and did that. And that was fun. But these are just great opportunities to make memories and, you know, for my kids to learn what having a baby can be like and taking care of the house and, you know, caring for Miles and all of those things are just such valuable lessons, but also just great opportunities to be closer as a family and enjoy these little moments because they do go so fast. I mean, in just a couple of weeks, he'll not be this little tiny baby newborn. I mean, he'll still be young, but it just goes so quickly. And we really, really, really want to try to cherish that going into this, these next few weeks, which again, it's tough, you know, and I feel this every day where I know that I want to not be short with my kids or I don't want to be frustrated with them or, this is such a great opportunity. I'm going to miss laying in bed with them before they go to sleep. And I'm going to be missing that someday. But then when I get there and it's 9 o'clock at night and or whatever time, maybe it's midnight because the kids aren't going to sleep or whatever. It's a lot harder to remember that those moments are still special. And that's when I start getting snappy or tired or whatever it may be. And it is definitely a struggle for me to try to, enjoy the moment or smile during the moment. So that's something I've been thinking about and wrestling with and just trying to not just become my only thought each evening as I get tireder and tireder, especially with obviously a newborn. So just encouraging to you is those moments are hard. They're going to be hard. Push through them and do try to remember the importance and just the amazing time we're all in with kids at home and being able to be parents and spend every day with them because it's such an amazing gift. And it makes me wish I could be here every day, and I'm so thankful that Rissa gets to homeschool our kids and be with them for hopefully, you know, all the way through. And it's just an amazing thing. So again, thank you everyone who's been praying for us. Really appreciate it. And we should be back next week for a more normal episode, but I'm going to do a quick commercial break here and then Dad's going to take over and do the rest of the show. All right, I just want to say thank you to Teaching Textbooks for helping make the Smiling Homeschooler possible. Again, they're an amazing math curriculum. Our family's used them for more than 10 years at this point, probably like 12 or 14 years, something like that. And their curriculum just keeps getting better and better. It's fun. It's interactive. It's engaging. It's very independent. So your kid can do it on their own. They don't have to have you involved the entire time. And I found that I learned math better using Teaching Textbooks. So if you haven't tried them already, or if you know someone who hasn't, definitely send them to teachingtextbooks.com. They have a free trial over there and amazing customer support. So if you have any questions, you can definitely reach out to them as well.
We also want to thank Homeschooling Today magazine. As they say themselves, they say, join the growing movement of parents who are setting aside comparisons, taking control of their children's education, choosing courage over fear, letting God lead, and homeschooling boldly. Homeschooling Today is a quarterly magazine created by real people with a passion for honesty and encouragement. You won't find articles telling you everything you're not doing. Instead, you'll find homeschooling parents who have walked where you are or are currently on the path and want to help you succeed. And that is what we're talking about. And really, to, you know, prepare your kids for whatever God has for them after they graduate and as they get towards not the end, because they're asking, this is the kind of encouragement you need. So go to homeschoolingtoday.com. Subscribe to their magazine and check out their other resources. Again, they have a weekly podcast that's is filled with encouragement. So check them out at homeschoolingtoday.com. Hey everyone. I guess Ben probably just handed the show over to me. And I'll hand it back to him at the end. It's been an exciting week, as Ben just told you, and we're thrilled to have another grandson, and it's just so much fun. And again, I attribute it all to homeschooling, not to having grandchildren, but just the closeness of family, and just it pays off. So you may be a little tired, but don't. Keep going. It pays off. So what I thought we'd do just for a few minutes is something that I've been thinking about. And that's, you've heard us talk about the the homeschool personality types. And if you don't know, and we haven't taken that test, you can get it at our website. But it's the falcon, the owl, the sandpiper, and the swan. We've kind of broken the personality types into those four groups. And, you know, just as a recap, a falcon is that kind of focused person who gets a lot done, you know, likes order and lists and grades and all those things. And an owl is the one who's always like, yeah, but, you know, they're thinking about it, kind of questioning status quo. Is it all about grades anyway? What's, you know, school's not about sitting in it. It's about learning. And a sandpiper is kind of like the fun one, all over the place, gets excited easily about certain directions, runs off one direction and then runs back the other direction. And then the swan is that just serene homeschooler who maybe very similar to a falcon, but not with the same drive as the falcon has. And so, you know, as we were thinking about it, we've also been developing a test for you to take for your kids, because your personality might be very focused, like the falcon, but you might have a child who is not that way. Maybe you have a child who's more like a sandpiper and is just all over the place and you can barely get him to sit down and you think they can't do anything. You know, I asked them to do this and then we get frustrated because they're not following directions. Or maybe you're an owl who, you know, wants more and deeper and, you know, wants it to be really thoughtful. And your child is more like a falcon who just wants to, you know, get school done. Just give me some definable tasks and I will do that. You know, give me workbook pages. I don't care how and why I feel, how I feel about something. I just want to get it done. And so that is the beauty of homeschooling, because you get to tailor your homeschooling directly to the child. Now, again, so let's just talk about that. So the falcon chick, or the Aya, I think that's what they call them, E-Y-A, that's what they call a falcon chick, you know, is that child of yours that, you know, digs right in. When you give it him or her an assignment, she just likes to get it here. She just likes to get it done. They don't ask questions. They figure it out quickly. They move through it quickly. They're motivated by, you know, a reward. That reward might be a grade. I got 100, you know, as a kid myself, I could care less about grades. I didn't care about, you know, the reward when I was in Awana, not as a kid, but as an adult, I kept thinking, if I had been a kid and they said, hey, you got a red jewel for getting all these verses, I would have said, you got to do better than that. You know, but the falcon loves that. The falcon loves the reward and will work really, really hard to get them all done, get them perfect, to get it to accomplish something. Again, the owl chick or the owlet really wants to know why behind some of those things. They are probably the one who might ask you, so why do we have to know this? You know, when am I ever going to use this? What's the point? The falcon chick doesn't care when they're going to need it, know it. They just like knowing it and seeing the look of pleasure when they say it and everybody, you know, looks at them and smiles and claps and applauds. The owl doesn't. You know, I maybe had a little bit of that owlet in me because I was constantly thinking, you know, practically, what's the value of this? So to an owlet, you really have to kind of explain why you're doing something. If you say to that child who has those owl tendencies, you know, well, you just have to do it because I said so. You know, that is an answer, and sometimes they have to accept that, but it frustrates your child because in their head, they're thinking, what's the point of that? And really a lot of different things they needed to know. You know, for the sandpiper, you know, if you try to get them to accomplish certain things, you know, if you give them, this is probably like that little test. When you give your child an assignment and they fall on the floor and throw a fit, that's probably your sandpiper because they just don't get it. They don't get, you know, all these, you know, true and false or ABC, pick the best question. In fact, sometimes they can't focus that far. They scribble doodles all over the page, but they can't quite get to the assignment part. And then the swan is that child that's sometimes easy to be taken advantage of because they don't have any emotion. They don't have any drama as they're completing these assignments. They kind of get it. You know, you don't have to explain it all to them and why it has to be done. You might have to coax them a little bit, but they finally do it without all that. Well, I missed one. Who, you know, why is that the wrong answer? You know, I don't get that. A falcon will fight for those right answers. Grades, you know, the falcon loves getting them all. They argue when they miss one. The owl doesn't care about grades, doesn't care if they get them all right. You know, the sandpiper, they don't even know what grades are. They're just all over the place. They think they're all A's, you know, and a swan is okay with A's, but they're just okay with everything. You know, your child is happiest when, like, your child might be a falcon. If you give them a workbook page to complete, that's what gives them, that's their happy spot. You know, to an owl, his happy spot or her happy spot might be reading something or viewing something that he's really interested in. They like that. That gives them a really good feeling of learning. Your owlet or your sandpiper child or a peep, I think they call them. They like doing new things and making messes and, coloring outside the lines. And that's their happy spot. Again, if you try to, well, we'll talk in just a second. And then your swan, you know, their happy place is just when they're plugging away. You kind of get them going. You kind of back away and just let them serenely plug away. Here's the different chicks. They get frustrated by different things. You know, like the falcon gets frustrated when they can't get it all done. So they're the ones who, when you say, hey, it's time to eat lunch. And if they're not finished, man, they might fall apart. They're like, well, I got to get my assignment done. And you're like, no, we're going to eat lunch. And they're like, well, I got to get my assignment done. And that frustrates them. So, you know, that's why I say sometimes with the falcon chick, you might have to make their assignments a little bit smaller. Because why? Because they can't get it done? No, they will get it done. But so they're not, so they have free time because they won't feel like they can move on if they can't. They, you know, same thing with the amount of lessons. If you have 4 days a week where you have school, they'll get all four of them done. If you have 5 days, they'll get all five done, even if they have to do it beyond that. But you don't want to burden them with that. You want them to enjoy being a kid as well. You want to control that. So that's why, you know, I would want to kind of manage that. So they can feel good about getting it all done, but that you determine from the very beginning that, no, we're not going to do every single problem. We're going to do every other problem. So when you get all every other problem done, you have completed it. And they'll be okay with that. You know, the owl gets frustrated, again, like we've kind of said, when an assignment feels pointless. If you're doing some kind of math thing and they can't figure it out and you can't explain why the importance, then you're really going to frustrate them. So, and again, yes, you might say, well, you know, we're going to do it because I said so. But I wouldn't overuse that because that will really, really, really frustrate your owl. You know, your sandpiper, if an assignment feels boring, you're probably frustrating it. You're losing them because they have to have it exciting. Again, that's why I think, you know, for a sandpiper, long things, like even devotionals, or some good book. If you're going to read the same story or the same devotional for a half a year, you're going to lose your sandpipers because your sandpiper chicks, because they need some variety. So, you know, maybe you pick up this devotional today and then a different kind of devotional tomorrow, or you do 2 or 3 days in a row, but then you do 2, 3 in something else. You know, and if you have a child who doesn't get frustrated very often, they're probably a swan. Again, it's easy to take advantage of those child. That child, but resist the urge. You know, when it comes to self-motivation, you know, a falcon chick just gets done. I know that if I give him an assignment, it'll get done. You know, as far as an owl, you have an owl if you think, well, my child's not going to do it if he doesn't think it's important. He might not do it if he thinks it's a waste of time. The sandpiper, if you turn your back, your child might run outside and play. That's a sandpiper. And again, a swan, as long as it's spelled out clearly, he's probably going to do it. You know, and for your children, if the assignment gets too hard, this might happen. If you have a falcon child, you know, that focus child, he might lie about doing it or even cheat to get it right. Why? Because they like rewards. They like grades. They think that if they don't get it all right or don't do it, then they've failed. So sometimes it's easier to lie about it or cheat and get the right answers. Especially if you happen to be a falcon as well, they know that it's really, really important to you. You know, now an owl child, if you give them an assignment too hard, sometimes they won't proceed until they understand it completely. You know, they get locked up. They can't move forward. I know a few of my children, they were that kind of sandpiper, or that owl. And man, if you didn't spell it out, it was just, they just didn't know. I mean, what do you mean I can use, do I have to circle the answer or do I have to box it? Or, you know, the sandpiper, if the assignment's too hard, they don't care. They'll just do it all wrong and be happy with it. I had some of those tendencies. I'm like, yeah, I was close enough. And of course, a swan, again, there won't be a lot of drama, but they might fake it until they make it, till they understand it. You know, sometimes those children, you know, the way they look towards school is, you know, like a falcon will say, it's not very fun and it takes too long. For an owl, their attitude might be, feels like a waste of time on stuff that doesn't even matter. A sandpiper will kind of feel, as long as it's fun, I'm good with it. And a swan will say, it's just what you have to do. You know, and again, that's why I think it's so important for us to kind of understand that our kids are different. Because what's sad to me is that sometimes if you have a bunch of children who are all similar, that one that is very different stands out one way or another. We might say, you know, if you don't have any falcons and all of a sudden you have this falcon, you think, wow, this is a smart kid. It's not true. Well, you know, it is true. They're all smart kids, all of them. But we elevate certain ones just because that's the way they were made. Or maybe we de-elevate others, you know. If you're that falcon type, the owl type, and or even a swan, and you have this sandpiper chick, you know, who is just, you know, Mr. Creative all over the place, you might tend to think that they're not getting it, that they're just, what's wrong with the child? And the answer, again, is there's nothing wrong with that child. That's just the way God made him. And I think, again, that's the beauty of homeschooling, because we get to homeschool our kids, school our kids in the way that best fits their personality types. Now, again, we don't have a test for you to take right now, but we have been working on it. And we're still kind of struggling. I thought this would come easier, putting this all together in some kind of book format, or in a format that you can use more effectively. But I still think it's something to think about, even if we don't have it all spelled out yet. And we're excited about it. I hope it helps your kids smile more. I hope it helps you smile at your kids more. Well, I'm just about done. As you listen to this, I will be on my way to Florida. I'm going to, my brother-in-law, his name is Todd, broke his collarbone after a car crashed into him as he was bicycling. And he's really shook up. He's got an RV down there, and he has to be out of his RV resort real soon. So I'm going to go down and drive his RV back, because I'm Mr. RV guy. So if you think about it, would you pray for us that we'll be safe, and for comfort for my brother-in-law as he's driving, because it's a pretty bad break, and it's going to be super uncomfortable bouncing down the road in a big old RV. So I'm going to give it back to Ben, and he can close us down, and have a great week. Have a great Resurrection Sunday. And again, that's what I should talk about, because he lives, we can do homeschooling. all this has purpose and meaning. And that makes us smile.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. Again, thank you to Teaching Textbooks for helping make the Smiling Homeschooler possible. And lastly, if you haven't left us a review over on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, that would be a great way to support what we do. It helps more homeschoolers find our podcast, and we'd really appreciate it. So have a great week, and don't forget to smile.